Royal Festival Hall. Tuesday night at 7:30.
This is BBC Radio 3 on 90-93 FM, on digital radio and online. There's music through the night with Jonathan Swain from 12:30, but now it's time for Late Junction with Verity Sharp.
Znikąd wydarta ciszy, ktokolwiek mnie usłyszy, by do was przyjść odchodzę, tak mi po drodze zabiorę błękity nieba. Niewiele mi potrzeba, by przetrwać takie cisze. Wiatru kołyszę.
That's the voice of the Polish actress and singer Aldona Nowowiejska and a song called Blow the Wind from her album Sonnet. Welcome to another night of Late Junction. Tonight we're going to be hearing the fruits of our latest Late Junction session, which is a great blend of electronics with instruments familiar and less so, and all of it carved out by the talents of Max de Wardener, Ollie Coates and more friends that they brought into the studio. So you'll hear the results of that at around about midnight tonight. But for now, here is Max de Wardener with those famous cloud bowls, which you may remember that he brought into the studio to help us celebrate Late Junction's 10th anniversary a couple of years ago. This is a track called Snowflakes.
Thank you. kamata sukuma
Mana kamata sukuma mpana maneti Ni kukamata ugari Na kusukuma tumboni
No. Halo mwana maskali
Nawa
Hebu jaribu kumisaidia mchukupele Mana kamata sukuma ni nini
Mana kamata na sukuma ni mchukupele Ni kukamata jembe barabara Na kusukuma kazi kwa juhudi na maarifa Ili kupambana na mazingira ya maisha yetu Muziki, tunakuomba wewe ndugu Maneti, ufahamishe nini maana ya kamata na sukuma.
Alright, my friend. Maana ya kamata sukuma kwa muziki. Ni kulikamata lile kukakoka barabara. Na kusukuma, ni kusukuma ile misakato yenyewe. Kuanzia kichwa, mabega, mikono, kiuno, miguu, mpaka kisigino.
That's the Vijana Jazz Band of Tanzania. They were the first group to capitalise on a new government ruling in Tanzania in the 1970s, which allowed musicians to buy instruments from other countries for the very first time. And that band in particular went on to form their own very distinctive style of highly rhythmic, almost frenetic conga dance music. And that piece was Kamata Sukuma, and it followed on from La Pègre, which is on the album Swing Swing by Nicola Rupak. You're listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3, and in a moment we'll hear a glorious Sietos from Greece. And this is music that accompanies quite a dignified style of line dance, but it also gives the musicians lots of chance to improvise and embellish the melody. But just before that, this is the nimble fingerwork of Bela Fleck and the guitarist Tony Rice. Thank you. Stelios Petrakis, Yoyis Kisloris, and Pericles Papatropoulos. And that's a piece by Stelios Petrakis called Lava, based on a traditional Greek sirtos. And both that and the extensive track that I played you earlier this week comes from an album on the Accord Croisé label called Si je salue les montagnes, When I Salute the Mountains. You're listening to Late Junction on BBC Radio 3 with me, Verity Sharp, and you'll hear the voice of the Welsh musician Christine Cooper after this atmospheric piece by Martin Simpson. This is called The Lover's Ghost.
First it bends. God said to Gwydion, "Take the mosses and the stones of the earth, and from them fashion a great army of trees." So Gwydion called the trees by their names, and one by one they pulled their great roots out of the soil, and they began to march. Gwern, Helig, Cerdyn, Celyn, Eithin, Eiddew, On, Bedw, Derw, Llwyf, Colloed, Fawydd, Fenitwydd, Gwynwydd, Ysbyddad, Sirian, Castan.
She's got a penknife long and sharp, all alone and alone here. She's pierced those babies through the heart, down by the greenwood side here. She's dug a grave that's long and deep, was their coverlid, down by the greenwood side.
Nid mi oif ni gan, ceint yr yn bachan.
Thank you.
Well, that's The First Dance from White Man Sleeps by Kevin Volans. And the title of that piece coming, he explains, from African Nyanga panpipe music, where the performers leave off playing their loud pipes for a few cycles and dance to the sound of their ankle rattles to let the white landowner sleep, if only for a minute or two. It was played there in a version of a string quartet by the Smith Quartet, and it followed on from the voice of Christine Cooper and her version of The Cruel Mother, which she's included on a new EP called These Dreams Like Trees Are Dark and Twisting. Well, it seems the fiddle player Jerry Diver may have drawn inspiration from the minimalists for his recent speech project. Diver is a great Irish fiddle player, but he's also something of a musicologist, as he's recorded interviews over the years with all kinds of leading musicians from Ireland. And in this piece, he's created music to enhance those words in a way that then gives you a kind of three-dimensional take on Ireland, its music and its history of wave after wave of emigration. There are 11 movements in total to this piece, and this movement features a great field recording mixed with an interview from the Pogues' Shane McGowan.
And my mother taught me that God is upright and the earth of one. That I foresaw young meadows have been parted by when I heard not one.
I was born in 57, which when everywhere was pretty f***ed, you know. I was going backwards and forwards all the time, my old man was in England, but my mother spent half the time in Czech, yeah? And half the time in England with him, yeah? Pogues are a bunch of people at a time when London had sort of the population had swelled to about 12 million, but most of those people were Irish, Black, Greek, Italian, you know what I mean? And Asian, of course. So he was brought over it whole from Ireland, you know, like it was brought over whole from the West Indies. So the Irish diaspora in London, yeah? Fitted in with the blacks in London and the Asians in London and the English, you know, to the native English. But I mean, man, most of them weren't from London, because they were from all over the place. Point out that we didn't write for maids when you were young, never wed an old man, or any of the filthy songs that didn't make up the Irish traditional canon, you know what I mean? People were trying to push it back to the straighter part of its culture, because there's always been two kind of streams, yeah? By far the majority of the stream has been hedonistic, belligerent, boisterous, and like dash of yeah. Irish, English, Scottish, Romanian, whatever traditional folk music. You know, it keeps up. Tradition can't keep going unless it moves with the times. The fact that the pubs were squatting in London, right? You know what I mean? And we'd been through punk, right? And that had been wild, you know what I mean? And then we thought that was going to change the world forever, which it did, yeah? There's no break between the old style and the new style. It just went through. Just went through.
Music for Tape Loop from Speech Project by Jerry Diver, and featuring there the voice of Shane McGowan. Do have a look at the website for this, speechproject.net, as it's quite fascinating stuff, and I'm sure there'll be chances to catch live performances over the summer. It's a piece that seems to deliver more and more the more you listen. You're listening to Late Junction. If you'd like details of that, or of course anything else you hear on the programme, do have a look at the Late Junction page of the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3/late junction, and follow the links from there. This is Dirty Three, Jim White, Mick Turner and Warren Ellis, and it's a track from their new album called Towards the Low Sun, with this particular track called Sometimes I Forget You've Gone.
Sonsite
we are
Danila,
we are
Kumanila,
Nila,
Sonte. Ah, Fabula de tewa kakude saku parikapiro denke sabaye desem faro tamin fala kanyamfama dembeta panyonyala dirisa keri fae kake ipe bake nare baga mandeka elekera kita fe kera faso fe ka faso bonogoro sogo sogo simboni simbo salamba fala kisa kukie londo.
Voice there of Mali's Barker Daniel, bringing the old traditional songs of her country to life on the album called Sidibar. Before that, you heard Dirty Three, and they're going to be appearing at a brand new festival this year. It's being launched by the End of the Road team and held in the grounds of the Welbeck Abbey in Sherwood Forest. The weekend for that is the 8th to the 10th of June. You're listening to Late Junction, and we have in the studio Max de Wardner, who is something of a musical inventor, I always think, Max, rather than a composer. I remember the last time we were in this very studio, in fact, you brought in your cloud bowls to, I don't know, you think up sounds and then you create the instruments to deliver those sounds to you, it always seems to me. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, I've seen to sort of pick instruments that are very hard to record as well.
That's true.
Today's instruments are based around overtones. Two pieces, the first of which is on an auto harps that I've retuned to play the harmonic series.
Let's just think about an auto harp before you tell us what you've done to the auto harp. For anybody kind of unfamiliar in the first instance with an auto harp, it's from the zither family.
It's like a harp with buttons, really, which allow different chords to be played. But you can actually pick the melodies from it while holding the bar chords down.
You kind of see it a lot in Appalachian music, don't you? It's that sort of very portable, accompanying singing, belongs to that tradition. In fact, you're sitting there with one on your lap. Just give it a strum. We'll all recognise the sound, I'm sure. How have you adapted, for want of a better word, the instrument to suit the purpose of exploring? You're basically exploring the harmonic series, aren't you, in these couple of pieces?
Well, I've first of all tuned all the strings to play the overtones from an F spectrum. This is what this sounds like, which is one of the buttons. And then I've had to actually adapt the button in order to pick out those pitches from the harmonic series, and some of the other buttons pick out other notes from that same harmonic series, which provide us with four chords. So my auto harp only has four buttons on it.
And an awful lot of strings. I don't know how many strings, but have you actually had to go and retune each
of those
strings?
Yeah, they all have to be retuned separately.
Wow. And you've got four auto harps in the piece that we're going to hear, so that must have taken you quite a long time.
It did take quite a long while, yeah. I'm getting quicker.
Did it send you slightly loopy while you were doing it?
A little bit, yeah.
So we're going to hear these four auto harps, and then there's a part for cello, and we're joined by the supremely talented Oliver Coates. Oliver, you've had to detune your cello as well. You haven't got away with it, have you? Can you just tell us what you've had to do?
It's my great pleasure to do more than detune it. I've restrung it entirely. So it has two D strings, sort of when they come out of the packet, as D strings and two G strings. But they're tuned to the pitches C and F. So I've got two C strings and two Fs, unisons, low. I've got quite used to doing scordatura, which is the posh word for unconventional tuning. I've done so much of that that seems to be totally fine, and I love doing it. In fact, the cello seems to respond happily, resonate quite nicely. But with Max's work, sort of the line of inquiry that he's on, this is the furthest away from conventional tuning that I've ever had, and I've had it like this for a week now.
I mean, the main thing is that the harmonics that Ollie almost exclusively plays on today are the same harmonics that the auto harp has.
Mm-hmm. You use that nice phrase, the line of inquiry that Max is on. What do you think that line of inquiry is, would you say?
Well, it's a preoccupation with an unusual instrument that's outside of the canon of sort of classical music, maybe, and sort of being besotted with that and extrapolating music from it and structure and craft. So, in fact, the music has always been sort of like the last stage. The techniques and the things like fingerings, things like exploring chords and sort of how we could construct stuff it's really nice, that sort of sense of craft. And I've had to be there, like trips to Max's house to make that happen, otherwise he couldn't have seen if it was going to work or not.
It's quite a funny combination of very specific notation and specific ideas and techniques, and then at the same time very open parts in the score that aren't realised because I don't know enough about cello or about the sound world. So that's why Ollie is so useful and so amazing at picking up the pieces.
Thank you. Cello and Auto Harps by Max de Wardener, as played by Mara Carlisle, Edmund Finnis, Aisha Orazbayeva and Rowan Oliver, with Oliver Coates playing the cello. The next piece, kind of exploring a similar theme, isn't it, Max? I like the idea that there was an image, really, that inspired this, and that was of a squeaky gate that you came across on a walk. Just take us through that walk.
Well, I was walking in North Devon in a place called West Down, and I came across this gate that had... it was very windy, but there were so many little holes in the actual gate, and the wind was blowing through it. It was like about sort of 12 flutes, sort of all playing effectively overtones again. It's not that I thought about writing a piece of music straight away after hearing that, but when I started to mess around with whirlies, which is the other instrument we're experimenting with today, it took me back to that gate.
Do you often find that image does give you a musical trigger? Because you write a lot for film, don't you?
I do, but always sort of more of a technical thing, I think, probably the trigger point.
Like a challenge in a sense?
Yeah, I think so.
So a whirly, for those unfamiliar?
Oh, my God. It's a corrugated plastic tube that was big in the 70s for children, and you whirl it above your head in a circle and it produces a set of overtones as you swing it harder.
And it was the sound of the whirly that made you want to write a piece for it, or it was the idea of exploring harmonics and then thinking, whirlies, I remember those from back.
I can't remember the exact evolution, but I suppose we were on the subject. I think particularly I wanted to write another piece for Ollie with this tuning. Seems sensible that if he's going to have it tuned like that, it should be another piece to go with it. And I thought about overtones. And I like the idea of amateur instruments and amateur kind of parts with virtuosic cello writing. I think that's sort of a nice sort of tension there.
You've even asked me to whirl one of these whirlies. Yeah, that's how amateur we're getting here.
Great. There are four whirly players. Each one has the same overtones as each of Ollie's strings.
And how does your part kind of fit, Ollie? Are you kind of, you know, the virtuoso player over the top?
There's material which moves through a procession of introduction sort of blocks, introducing new pitches as I ascend the harmonic series. And you're right in the sense that if maybe virtuosity is sort of implied by speed or dexterity or something, that increases as the piece progresses. But actually it's just feels like a natural thing, because as the whirlies go higher, they need to go faster. I love this piece because this is kind of really pushing me. I've never played harmonics as difficult as this ever, and as sort of on a sustained level.
Thank you.
What a fascinating sound that is. That is six whirlies here in the studio at Maida Vale, and the cello tuned to two Fs and two Cs and played by Oliver Coates, and aptly named Cello and Whirlies by Max de Wardener. When you actually hear it, Max, coming together like that, it must be quite, it must open other musical doors in your head, because it's not something you come across very often, that sound.
I find it very satisfying having the cello reinforcing what the whirlies are doing. That sort of, and the same with the auto harps. I like that. That sort of same thing. Mm. I like lots of pieces with the same instrument, like sort of tenor oboes, or I think it needs to be logical for me, that sort of thing.
Do you think you'll explore it more? I mean, literally the cello and whirly thing. You know, would there be like a series, or for you, is it sort of done now?
They're not easy to perform with, and they're a bit clumsy. Because to get the higher partials, you sort of have to sort of look like you're... It doesn't feel musical playing them, although the effect can be quite musical.
You can hit things with them.
Yeah, you hit things. And it's not a great scene, but probably moving away, I think, actually. I'd like to run another piece for Ollie that involved another amateur instrument that was as interesting as those first two.
You're going to do one more piece for us for this Late Junction session, which I think is more kind of your piece, isn't it, Oliver? And this is going to see you, Max, at the electronic desk, which I think is possibly where we know you very much as an electronic artist as well. So what's the background to this piece, Oliver? It's all to do with the Apollo 11 mission, isn't it?
Well, in the interests of making this really collaborative, and I like that in the strongest sense of the word, a project that I'm working on at the moment is a storytelling engine for like an app for devices which would tell in real time the story of the Apollo 11 mission, and I'm working with them to create for each day of the mission music, themes, ambiences. I've chosen day 4, and there's a moment where the astronauts go around the back of the moon and have no direct satellite contact with Earth, but they still record everything that's happening, and they boost their engines in order to enter the lunar sphere of gravity influence. All this material from NASA is just wonderful found material, and obviously I find it inherently very musical already, and so I sent some to Max. Max has very simply just restructured, reordered, and added some resonating vocoders to extract some pitch, which is probably already felt or latent in some of this static, this crackle.
Which is the thing that really defines those recordings,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's that sense
very
of
much the crackle.
Other words, it's very romantic, but also at the same time, this is the most technologically extraordinary accomplishment, and it makes your mind explode, and therefore what they managed to achieve by falling from Earth to Moon and back again. So I thought I'd use this little opportunity to work with Max and just share some ideas about how you create music based on this.
That's a beautiful bird.
God damn, I guess.
Woo!
Well, I have to vote with the Ken crew. That thing is brown.
Yeah.
Sure is.
Tan to me. But when I first saw it at that other sun angle,
it looked gray.
Really looked gray. Yeah.
More
got
sun
more,
angle, you get the
more brown with increasing sun angle.
Okay.
A long way up.
Right, let's okay, now we've got some things to do.
Darren's job.
So that's Day 4 by Oliver Coates and Max de Wardner, and that's part of the latest Late Junction session, which of course will now be available to you as a podcast. Just go to the Late Junction page of the Radio 3 website and you will be able to download that at your leisure. Max and Ollie, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a real pleasure. Oliver, you can go and retune your cello, I suppose, put it back to normal. What's next for your cello?
Going back to playing with Aurora Orchestra and Peter and the Wolf with Mackenzie Crook narrating.
That would be a very nice subliminal change. And Max, just to finish off the programme, I know that another inspiration really for this idea of exploring the harmonic series was overtone flutes, traditional overtone flutes. Just explain what those are.
The ones I'm familiar with, the Russian ones, they're just single. I think they've got no keys, no holes in them, and they just... again, oscillate between all the different overtones, but just by different blowing pressure. But you get the thing about the harmonic series is it's in all music that's very old, you know, like all African instruments, all those imbiras, and they're all tuned funny, and they're tuned funny because they're trying to be tuned in with, you know, they're tuned with the harmonic series in some way. That's the, and you hear it in music that hasn't been affected by equal temperament.
Yeah. Well, we shall leave you tonight with the sound of the fujara, which is the Slovakian overtone flute. It's a wonderfully ethereal sound. I'm Verity Sharp. Thanks for listening to another week of Late Junction. My thanks to Freya Hellier for producing and also to James Birtwistle for mixing the session. Till next time, good night.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. A recent concert from Sweden to set off tonight. Jukka-Pekka Saraste conducting the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra in the Berwald Hall in Stockholm in March 2011. Pianist Boris Giltberg is with them in 10 minutes or so for Rachmaninoff's first piano concerto. And the concert closes with Tchaikovsky's Farewell to the Symphony, to life, some have said, the Pathétique Symphony. First, though, Spring Rounds, one of Debussy's orchestral images. Its main theme is the folk song Nous n'irons plus au bois, but the woods are where much of the piece seems to be until what sounds like a dance out on the village green in the music's final moments.